From Southern California, welcome to the Bible Into Men broadcast. I'm your host, Hank Hennegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute, and we're delighted that you've joined us for the broadcast today. Of course, as always, invite you to join us on air with your question in the U.S. or Canada by dialing 888-ASK-HANK. That translates into 888-275-4265. Our address, the Christian Research Institute, Box 7000, Rancho, Santa Margarita, California, zip code 92688. Our telephone number, please jot it down. 714 is the area code, the number 858-6100. Again, that number 714-858-6100. The number for your ordering materials or making donations using Visa, MasterCard, or the Discover card. We have a special toll-free line dedicated to you, the number 888-7000-CRI. And due to the advance of technology, you can now hear the broadcast anywhere on the planet if you have a computer and log into www.equip.org. The broadcast is simulcast on the internet. And the internet is getting to be such big shakes that even the president is talking about it in the State of the Union address. Today, I have the privilege once again of having Joseph Tkach, Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God, in studio, along with his compatriot, Greg Albrecht, who is the editor-in-chief of the Plain Truth magazine. And we enjoy visiting with you guys every time you drop by.
Thanks, Hank. It's always a delight for us to be with you.
And Hank, it's always a delight to be with you and hear about your latest golf scores.
Oh, I see, yeah.
No,
I was saying that I always shoot in the 70s. If it gets any hotter than that, I just don't play. But it is great to have you guys here. You guys have been a bright spot in my life for the last three. For those who don't know you, Joe, and don't know the journey of the Worldwide Church of God, perhaps you can encapsulate in a brief amount of time what has really happened with the Worldwide Church of God, a movement that was steeped in legalism, that adhered to many doctrines which were heretical or aberrant. You have come out of that and are trying to bring as many people out of that with you as possible.
Absolutely true. The thumbnail sketch would be, of course, the movement began with Herbert W. Armstrong in the 30s. He did not have any formal training, any discipline training when it comes to hermeneutics, and when it comes to epistemology, the nature of truth, and the nature of interpreting scripture. And he had a good heart. He wanted people to know the truth. He preached against nominal Christianity. He had taken a movement squarely within the pale of orthodoxy, taking a lot of heat in the process, but have found real peace in the midst of the storm.
Absolutely true. If I didn't have an active, living relationship with Jesus, I would probably be a manic depressive. Such elation and such joy I've experienced in the last 3 years that it's really hard for me to express. And I feel that bubbles over. And on my laptop computer, I have a screensaver that writes out the words, "Ask me about Jesus." So that when I'm traveling and I'm on the airplane working or I'm sitting in the airport, I want to share that with people and what he's done. And, you know, I hope that when I die on my gravestone, someone read the scripture without the benefit of training. He began to embrace some ideas that weren't new. I mean, some of the things that he taught, you can trace throughout the history of the church, and they were always items that were on the fringe or, as you said, aberrant or heretical. And he did a big work, but when he died, what happened was the challenges and the questions that were asked that would come in about his teachings would have to be answered by a group of people, and in that group of people were like Greg Albrecht, who's with us, and myself and a few others, and we were thoroughly equipped to answer all the challenges, but questions would come in with new information that we hadn't seen before, challenges that that had a new slant or a new approach. And as we would do research to answer them, we would find that Mr. Armstrong's teaching failed. It was in the balance and didn't hold up to scrutiny. I found that in my personal study. Greg was finding that in his personal study. Others were finding that in their personal study. And first, we were even afraid to reach out to each other. We thought, they'll think we're off the track and we'll be thrown out of here. But then, eventually, slowly, we started reaching out to each other on different points, saying, you know, there are mistakes here. And we need to face these mistakes. And my dad was the one who had the courage, because he was in leadership at the time, to say, you know, if there's a mistake, we need to correct it. That's the legacy that Herbert Armstrong left us. He said, don't believe me, believe the Bible. If the Bible teaches something and we need to correct what we're doing, then that's what we're going to do. And it's the legacy that Herbert Armstrong left us, ironic to some, that helped us continue on the Christian journey. And once you've tasted the goodness of God, there's no turning back on that. You can't turn back on it. As it's described in the Gospels, you know, it's like the dog returning to his vomit. You just don't want to turn your back on that goodness.
Greg, you have the privilege now of leading a magazine that has had some pretty spectacular subscription rates. I think somewhere close to 3 million at one point, if I recall.
8 million.
8 million, my goodness. You have now taken that magazine, not changed the actual name, but changed the content, the message, and you are now proclaiming that one is saved by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Your challenge and your joy in doing that.
Amen. Grace alone, faith alone, Jesus Christ alone. The challenge and joy is exciting because it is a magazine that predicted the end of the world a number of times. And as far as I know, that hasn't happened yet. We're still sitting here in the studio. It proclaims a lot of unbiblical teaching and a lot of speculation. There are a lot of people who are still hurt by the name Plain Truth. In fact, as we advertise and as we talk to people and we do direct mail about the Plain Truth, we'll have people scribble return to sender along with a few other choice little messages for us that they'll send back to us because they haven't heard, they haven't seen. And we want to place a copy of the magazine in their hands and say, come join this journey with us, this wonderful journey that, as Joe was talking about, is wonderful. But on the other hand, I think it's very important to share with your listeners, as you well know and regular listeners know, coming out of cultic teachings is no easy thing. It is a journey through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a fundamental and earthquake-like change of your worldview. And you're dealing with values and beliefs that you held near and dear, and now they're upside down. But as we've been able to, along with the staff of the Plain Truth, we've been able over the last 3 to 4 years to take that magazine, and it is now a magazine dedicated to the gospel of Jesus Christ, dedicated to proclaiming Him and Him alone, and to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And the peripherals, we clearly say, look, there are a lot of perspectives and a lot of views about the peripherals, but the essentials, that there is one God, one triune God, that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is God, and salvation is by grace through faith. That's the essentials, and that's what we stand for.
And I think that in any areas that you still would have differences, they would be on secondary matters. And even there, you said to me personally, I think you said this publicly, that if one can convince you by reason in the scripture, that's your final court of arbitration.
Absolutely true.
And, you know, we got together last Friday and we just had a board full of callers and we promised that we would get to some of these callers. Let's do that right now. I'd like to keep interviewing you, be real honest with you. We enjoy getting together and just chatting, but so many people want to get through to you as well. Let's take Larry in Vancouver, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Larry.
Oh, hi. I just want to congratulate you guys on crossing over from a cult to the Christian faith. This is exciting. I used to read The Plain Truth in the 70s, but the British, or the Jews, tried the Jews, come out of the British. But what I'm curious, I know Ted Armstrong left the organization. I wonder what he thinks of this. And where are they in relation to where you guys are going now?
Thanks, Larry. appreciate your comments. Ted Armstrong lives in Tyler, Texas, and he founded a group named the Church of God International, and they still hold to most of the teachings of Ted's dad, Herbert W. Armstrong, and have not embraced hardly any of the changes that we've made. He has distanced himself from some of the former teachings of his dad in areas of prophecy that are really not of any great importance. He's not embraced our changes, and he remains in a separate organization and has since 1978.
Okay, I'm just curious. And once again, congratulations, and I wish you all the luck on this change, and I hope more people will be aware of it. And thank you, Hank.
Okay.
For having him on your show.
Okay, Larry, thank you for your call. I want to go to Patrick in Philadelphia, P-A-W-F-I-L. Hi, Patrick.
Hello. I feel so nervous. Listen,
not any nervous than we do, Patrick.
Well, I'm looking forward to hopefully having that dinner that you guys are going to have a little later. Well, I was curious to know, over the summer or in the spring of 1996, some friends of mine had said that there was some major changes that had occurred in the Worldwide Church of God. And I was a little skeptical. In the winter, actually the winter of 1996, I met a co-worker who left the Worldwide Church of God because of some doctrinal changes. But they were minor doctrines. They didn't seem significant, like eating meat, eating pork, or Worldwide Church of God was permitting to meet on other days other than Saturday. I was wondering, the major doctrinal differences that occurred prior to 3 years ago, such as the Trinity doctrine, the deity doctrine of Jesus, the person of the Holy Spirit, these have been inclusive in the past few years in your church now. Is that right? Am I correct?
Yes, that's right.
Great. You know something? I was listening to you throughout the program, and I was getting excited, and I thought, gee whiz, welcome to the truth. And
you know, one of the things that was our joy is to have Joseph Dukach write a viewpoint section for the Christian Research Journal, which was entitled The Church Reborn. And there he very clearly states what the church once held to and what they now embrace. And I think that anyone reading that can understand very clearly that they have now embraced and championed the New Testament central theme, the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. His saving work on behalf of humanity is now the focus not only of the ministry, but of the Plain Truth magazine. And we applaud them for that. And the courage that it took not to beat around the bush, but very clearly and succinctly state what they have jettisoned and what they now embrace. I can send that viewpoint article out to you, Patrick. It may be helpful to you.
Great. That would be great.
Thanks for calling.
I have one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
Quickly. Another co-worker showed me a magazine that she was reading. It's called it's from the Global Church of God. Is that similar to the old Worldwide Church of God?
Yes.
Okay.
Very similar.
In fact, we, in making these changes, experienced multiple denominational splits, and Global was one of the larger splits. They have about 6,000 to 7,000 members with them, headed by a gentleman named Roderick C. Meredith. And Global Worldwide Church of God probably is about 95% Armstrongism.
Okay.
Patrick, Greg Albrecht, I'd just like to say to you, first of all, nice to talk to you and thank you for calling. What we have seen in the Worldwide Church of God is that there have been something on the order of 110 to 120 different splits from the Worldwide Church of God since 1934.
Amazing.
All of them at this present time may be these small. Some of them are just a couple of members, and some of them are thousands of members. All of them teach a degree of Armstrongism, with the exception of one. And the irony is that one is the church that Herbert Armstrong founded, the Worldwide Church of God. We believe God not only has a sense of humor, but that God is a miracle-working God, and that we thank him, because without him, it would not have happened.
And I have one more thought to add to that, Patrick, for the sake of our listeners. When I say that, when Greg and I use the term Armstrongism, we don't mean that in totally a negative way, because we recognize that he taught some good things as well. But we mean the term is defined as those things that are outside orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I could use any other person's name who taught something outside orthodoxy. So I don't mean it to bash the person or character of the person, but I mean it to represent aberrant teaching.
Thanks for your call, Patrick.
How can I get that information?
Hang on. We'll send it out to you.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
And I do want to say to you both that I appreciate the way that you're dealing with Herbert W. Armstrong, although I know that it is a point of criticism by many of your detractors. Your point is to proclaim truth clearly and effectively, not necessarily to try to bash anyone. And the real issue is not the person, but is the doctrine that kills, because theology does have a ramification for a life. We want to, of course, take as many of your calls as humanly possible, and we're going to do that as we come back from the station break. Please stay tuned. Many Christians don't know how to go about finding a sound Orthodox church. What guidelines can we follow to help us choose a biblically based fellowship? The CRI Perspective in a moment.
CRI Perspective is presented by the Christian Research Institute. The purpose of these broadcasts is to provide spiritually based, well-researched answers to questions and concepts that challenge biblical Christianity. And now for today's perspective, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
So many churches and denominations today, Christians need to exercise caution in choosing a congregation. Thus, we strongly urge believers to deepen their understanding of the Scriptures and to sharpen their theological and spiritual discernments. This can be done by pursuing serious Bible study, as well as by reading books discussing the essentials of the Christian faith. Also, a firm knowledge of the various traditions within Orthodox Christianity, along with their distinctive doctrines, should prove valuable in deciding which church to join. Believers should consider whether the church will adequately meet their spiritual, emotional, and social needs, in addition, of course, provide them with an opportunity to be of service to other Christians as well. We also urge Christians to make sure that the doctrinal statements issued by the church are in line with Scripture. They should not hesitate to ask specific questions on issues where the church's position may not be clear to them. Because organizations generally take on the characteristics of their leadership, knowing something about the church's background can be very helpful as well. Find out whether or not the leaders of the church have consistently upheld essential Christian doctrines, and see if the church affiliates with other Christian ministries or conversely maintains ties with pseudo-Christian cults. We also would suggest that churches belonging to the National Association of Evangelicals or the World Evangelical Fellowship will generally be doctrinally sound. Above all, Christians should pray to God for guidance in finding the congregation that is best suited to help them grow in their faith. And remember that a healthy, well-balanced church is one which not only provides an atmosphere of fellowship, but also one that will equip you as a Christian to communicate the good news of the gospel to a lost and searching world. On finding a home church, that's the CRI Perspective. I'm Hank Hanegraaff.
A free transcript of today's commentary is available through the Christian Research Institute. Now, if you'd like more information on the defense of the Christian faith, how to solve alleged Bible difficulties, or how to witness the members of non-Christian cults, write the Christian Research Institute, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693.
And welcome back to the Bud Lynchman broadcast. I'm your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Delighted that you joined us for the broadcast today. We're inviting you to join us on air with your question in the U.S. or Canada by dialing 888-ASK-HANK. For those of you that just tuned in, it is my privilege today to host Joseph Kakach, who is the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, and Greg Albrecht. Some of you might be wondering, what in the world is Hank Hanegraaff doing in studio with Joseph Kakach and Greg Albrecht? And I can tell you very simply, what I'm doing in studio with Joseph Kakach and Greg Albrecht is sharing fellowship with brothers in Christ
they have taken a movement from aberrant doctrine squarely within the pale of orthodoxy. And these are brothers that I've had an opportunity to not only talk about doctrine with, but develop a personal relationship with. And as always, it's just great to have you on the broadcast. And when you're here, we have a lot of people that want to talk directly to you and ask you questions about the changes that you've made. I want to go to Randy in Memphis, Tennessee, WCRV. Hi, Randy.
Hello, Hank. Hello, Joe and Greg.
Hi, Randy. Hi, Randy.
The question is, in the latest worldwide news, I will make the statement that I no longer attend and I am in a healthy, well-balanced church, but in the latest worldwide news, there's an article on the legacy of the Worldwide Church of God, and in it, it makes several comments about Mr. Armstrong, and to me, they're in a positive light, but I just really can't find anything positive about Mr. Armstrong. I feel like that he was, led a cult. He destroyed a lot of lives. And I feel like the church is trying to whitewash and cover up a lot of the sins and things that he committed. And that...
Well, let's deal with that for a second, Randy.
Okay.
It's a good question.
Okay.
It's been raised before. There are people, of course, that think that you are whitewashing the legacy of Herbert W. Armstrong. What are you doing?
I think we're being honest and mature about it. In preaching the gospel and doing evangelistic work and kingdom work, you earn the right to speak. You don't earn the right to speak when you come in and start bad-mouthing people's parents and their heritage. You got to befriend them first. So I think that that's the wiser approach, and I think that's the godly approach.
And I think, too, just to interject something here, Joe, anyone that has listened to the broadcasts that I have done with you, and I've done several with you over the last few years, could not possibly imagine that you're whitewashing the teachings of Herbert W. Armstrong. And I think that there's a real important point that needs to be made, and that is there's a difference between bashing an individual and saying, look, these doctrines are destructive. And I have heard you publicly and privately make those statements. You have not shied away from that. My goodness, in the Christian Research Journal, you clearly denounced what you once held.
Exactly. And I think the proof is that the biggest criticism we receive from the 30,000 people who no longer attend in attendance winter groups is that we bash Herbert Armstrong. So on the one hand, we have people at one extreme saying we're whitewashing him, but on the other hand, we've got the majority of people who don't attend with us saying we bash him all the time. So I think there's prima facie evidence there, Randy, that we haven't whitewashed him.
Yeah, Randy, I would just like to say, Greg Albrecht, that there are a lot of people who feel that nothing short of us unearthing the grave of Herbert Armstrong and burning his body would be enough for us to do proper penance, and then maybe we would be in probation for 5 or 10 years before we would be accepted into their particular group or criteria of doctrines that they held to be the pale of orthodoxy. You know, we really don't believe that. We believe that Herbert Armstrong was a man who had teachings. We have judged those teachings, many of them, to be in error. We don't believe that God would have us go further and condemn the man. We believe that Jesus...
not your providence, anyway.
Not our providence.
The Holy Spirit.
Not our providence. And we believe that people feel they have that right, then they can do that, but we believe that we're all going to stand before the mercy seat of God, and he will take care of us.
But you are clearly denouncing teachings that are outside the pale of orthodoxy, whether they come from Herbert W. Armstrong
That's
or anybody else.
That's right. And in fact, Hank, you know, the teachings that we're denouncing, and this is maybe, perhaps Randy may not like this, or others who are listening may not like that, they weren't Herbert Armstrong's invention to begin with. All of the teachings which Herbert Armstrong had came from somebody else. All of them.
Now, that's a hard thing for some people who have to understand.
That's right. Some of our people felt that he, all of these were revealed to him, but they were not. They all came from someone else. Now, is that whitewashing Herbert Armstrong and trying to focus the... No, we're just simply saying that, you know, these teachings are still in extant, whether in splinter groups from us or in the world at large. And so we're judging those teachings.
I had one more thought about that, Hank, because Randy used a good phrase, that healthy Christian, being in a healthy church. I honestly believe that the healthy Christian in a healthy church has the love of God shed abroad in his heart and it flows out of him, and it's God's love in us that helps us love the unlovable. And when you have God's love flowing through you, helping you love the unlovable, then you're not going around looking for people to torture and crucify. And there's an important distinction between, you know, bashing the person and then taking his errors and false teachings and holding those up to scrutiny of Scripture. That's a distinction that too many people miss.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that was really interesting, I wrote a book called Christianity in Crisis, in which I take to task people like Benny Hinn for false doctrines that are very devastating to the lives of people. And during the time that I was writing that book, and even afterwards, I spent many an evening having dinner with Benny Hinn without any acrimony towards the individual. It's not the individual that I take issue with, and I don't judge that individual. That's the province of the Holy Spirit. But I can take doctrines that are damaging and clearly hold those up to the light of Scripture. I think that's what we're called to do. I want to go to another caller, Jackie in Virginia, WAVA. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, go ahead, Jackie.
There you go.
We're hearing you.
Okay, I had a question. I grew up in the Worldwide Church of God, and I left it on my own when I was about 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I know a little something of what you've been through, and I just say, you go. You guys hang in there. You're doing a great work. There's been a lot of prayer to lift you guys up.
Thank you, Jackie.
Because you need it. I mean, I just can't imagine the task before you, but you guys hang in there. I wanted to know if you're preaching heaven and hell when you die. If I know what the Worldwide Church of God mm-hmm. taught in prior years. What are you all teaching?
Yeah, when we, being that you're a former attender of Worldwide Church of God, you know that we used to teach soul sleeping,
right?
And that you're unconscious
right.
after you die,
okay.
And that heaven and hell are symbols. And what we now teach is that there are a couple of interpretations of those symbols,
mm-hmm.
and we try to focus people on the fact that heaven is not like it's characterized in cartoons, is some place where people sit on clouds and play harps. The character, the cartoon characterization that we used to ridicule in the past is not what real Christians believe or teach. And that what heaven is in scriptural terms is the relationship we have with God. It's the abode of God. It's the God realm, if you will. And that is the reward. That is the kingdom that we're going to be realizing in its fullness.
Not just a place, but a person.
Exactly. And with hell, we explain the same thing, that there are symbols that are used in Scripture. It's referred to as outer darkness. It's referred to as the place where the worm dies not. It's the place where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth and lots of anguish. And we try to get away from using terms like annihilationism, and stick to the truth of the matter and say this, that the suffering of hell or the suffering of the punishment in the future is beyond any experience of misery found on earth today, and that it's clearly included in the teaching of Jesus, and that these biblical symbols are just ways for us to understand the punishment, and that the reality is far beyond what these symbols say to us, in that hell is the presence of God in his wrath and judgment, and there's no cruelty there, but perfect justice, and that it's eternal, there's no escaping it, there's no repentance from it, it's forever being away from God.
Do you think that Herbert W. Armstrong was a false prophet?
Well, I would answer it this way. He never claimed, he says, that he was a prophet. He just made lots of prophetic speculations.
Right, he prophesied the end times
right.
and whatnot.
There is no doubt in my mind that he made false prophecies. In other words, I know of over 100 false predictions that he made, he and others. So I would never deny that he made false prophecies and
okay.
made false predictions. But since he never, from his own mouth, ever claimed the role of a prophet, that he was just trying to interpret Scripture and news together, he made mistakes. And he even apologized for those mistakes on occasions. But there is no denying he made over 100 false...
How would he refer to himself, though, if he thought that he was the leader of the only movement
that represented the kingdom of God.
He referred to himself as an apostle.
Right.
And the only true apostle in the end time.
Hey, Jackie, this is Greg Albrecht. As you know, that's really the issue with the folks who have left our church for one of the well over 100 splinter groups, is that the Herbert Armstrong was indeed an apostle, and that God revealed truths to him that had never been before revealed to anyone since 100 AD, and that's the issue that people wrestle with. And I'd like to say about your question about hell, as you well know, one of the issues that we've had to deal with and had to come to understand, and that by God's grace, the Holy Spirit has revealed to us that sin is not something to treat lightly. Sin is the state into which we are all born. We are all sinners. It describes us as much as the environment in which we live describes us. It is what we are. It is no small thing. For that reason, because we didn't fully understand the horrible impact of sin, we didn't really understand historically the need of a Savior. Because we don't understand how awful sin is, then why do you need a Savior? So therefore, we didn't emphasize Jesus Christ. Now we do emphasize Jesus Christ, and we know that in Him is in His name, that's the only way we can be saved. Now, that led, therefore, to...
Well, that sounds so strange coming from somebody from the Worldwide Church of God.
Well,
what a breath of fresh air, you know?
This is, Jackie, the new Worldwide Church of God, and let me just put a plug in, come back and visit sometime.
That was my question to you. I've been a Christian now in a solid church for 10 years, and I'm 39 now, so I've been gone from the church for a while. There's just so many people that I grew up with from the time I was a baby and I'm just wondering, could I go back and...
You're welcome. Write us in Pasadena, Box 111. And
you're still there, huh?
Write Joe or myself, and we'll put you in touch with our local congregations. And, we're not trying to get you to change churches, but we'd love to have you come back.
No, I would just like to see the people. They're my family.
Amen.
Do you think that's kosher, Hank?
Absolutely. I mean, I had dinner with Joe and Greg on numerous occasions. I've had lunch with them. I'm going to have dinner with them again tonight. I think it's perfectly kosher.
Can you?
Yeah. Heck, I'd seen him eat pork.
Uh-oh. I knew he was going to say that.
Actually, I just made that up. I can't remember whether they did or not.
Oh,
God.
I wasn't sure if I was going to go to hell the first time I had a crab cake, but I didn't.
You know what, Jackie? Hank has even preached that ambassador.
Yes, I have indeed. I preached the ambassador.
Now, Jackie, I just want to know, crab cakes is where I draw the line. Pork may be all right, shrimp, but
crab cakes.
I'm really appalled, Jackie, that you're eating crab cakes.
Hey, Jackie, you're a breath of fresh air. Thanks for calling.
Boy, thanks, guys. It was nice talking to you.
Great to talk to you as well.
Bye-bye.
I tell you what, it is a delight to talk to people who are now really becoming reacquainted with you, in a sense, and kind of surprised by what is coming out of your mouth.
It's fun, and I'll tell you what has been one of the greater joys. You asked me about that earlier. I neglected to mention that one of the trends we see in our church right now is that people who left our fellowship 10, 15, 20 years ago are returning and finding a home, because for that period of time they've been wandering the wilderness and not going anywhere. And just 2 weeks ago I spoke to a fellow who was a classmate of mine who dropped out 15 years ago and has only been back 2 or 3 months. And I can't express the delight that is when that happens.
And Hank, not only are people surprised at what's coming out of our mouths, thanks to you, now they're surprised at what's going into our mouths.
And you know, one of the things that's so neat is that we can demonstrate that it is not a denomination, a creed, a set of do's and don'ts. It's a relationship that you can have with the living Lord of the universe, the one who spoke and the limitless galaxies left into existence. We share that relationship not only for time, but also for eternity. We're coming at the station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of Joseph DeCotch and Greg Albrecht. Don't touch that dial.